Welcome to the Seven Figure Leaders podcast. This podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners, and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. And there you'll find the link to apply. Welcome. And today we've got Phil Trigas-Evans from Giraffe Social. Welcome, Phil.
Thanks, Tom. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you. Why don't you give us a bit of a background as to who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I am the CEO and co-founder of Giraffe Social. We are a specialist social media agency based on the south coast of the UK. And I'm also the best-selling author of a book called Human First Marketing.
Wow. Okay. So let's dive into kind of your background and how you got here. So when did you found Giraffe Social and what's the journey you've been on to get to where we are today?
Yeah. So I'm going to have to really cast my mind back. We started Giraffe in 2012. So it's been around just over 13 years now, which is insane to think. And I founded the business with a friend of mine, Kane, who is the CFO, still friend for most of the time. we've just grown the agency over those 13 years from, you know, two scrappy young entrepreneurs who didn't really know what they were doing to, you know, now we're working with huge brands around the world, still figuring out what we're doing. But yeah, it's from the outside, at least, it looks like we're in control more than we did probably when we started.
And what does your team look like now?
So we're a team of, I think there's 14 of us at the moment, but we're in the middle of a recruitment round at the moment.
Okay. So grown quickly still?
Yeah, we've, over that period of time, we've had peaks and troughs like most agencies do. And I think the reality is that when we started the business, our aspirations were, can we do this full time? Like, can we make enough money to have beans on toast, you know, a few nights a week at least? So, you know, at the beginning, the focus was just survival, I think. And that's probably true for most businesses. And once we achieved that, we probably got a bit comfortable. I wouldn't say complacent because I think we were still working extremely hard, but we were probably less focused on growth and more focused on sustaining it almost as like a lifestyle business. However, over the last 3 or 4 years, we've really focused in a lot more on our growth. And yeah, over the last years, we've seen some pretty good growth.
Great. Well, that's amazing to hear. So what are the main steps you feel like you've gone through over that period? Because inevitably, as you're going through growth, you experience challenges of some kind, right? Are there any stand out to you as being particularly hard to get over?
I think the biggest challenge with growth is people. I always say that hiring and managing people is the hardest thing I've ever done. Far harder than any other part of business that I've had to sort of turn my hand to. And that's even more true when you're growing, because when it's just two of you starting a business, it's easy. You're both sort of doing a bit of everything. You fully trust each other. But as soon as you start hiring people, it forces you to think about new things, new problems. And that's really true when you start growing. So I can't remember the name of the theory, but there's a theory about like different points in growth of when you things break, like the sort of processes and systems that worked at three people. Yeah. Don't work at 10 people. And then I think the next one's supposed to be like 30 people. So yeah, like once you got to 10 people, we definitely saw cracks in how the business operated and realized we need to kind of rebuild parts of the company. But no doubt people are the hardest.
Unpredictable.
Yeah. I think it's just the at the beginning you're just depending on yourself, and that's easy, right? Because you know who you are, you trust yourself to get stuff done. But as soon as you have to start hiring people, you now have a responsibility to them. And that is not just about, you know, getting the work done. It's about creating a safe, happy working environment, creating opportunities for them to learn, creating opportunities for them to progress. Because I think agencies are, they're not far from a recruitment company. You know, your job is to find brilliant people, have a sort of suite of services and a marketing philosophy or framework that you sort of plug those people into, and then you get out of their way and let them do awesome work. And so I think finding the right people and keeping them is hard. And I think agencies naturally have high turnovers. So it's, you know, we're in an industry where turnover is high. So a lot of our time is spent thinking about how do we find great people and how do we allow them to stay here and grow here. And that's definitely one of the biggest challenges.
And what have you done or what do you do to kind of get over that and address that?
Just pray. No, I'm like the least religious person. there's lots of angles. I think the big one really is giving them something to buy into. I think there was a time in Giraffe's growth where we probably didn't have a clear direction and a clear vision, and things were a bit vague in terms of we want to be the best social media agency or the biggest social media agency, and it was a little bit vague. And I think good people want to feel like they're building something with you, so it's about knowing where you're going and then allowing them to have an impact and just have a say and to be involved. So now that's a really big part of what we do, is understanding our vision, understanding what we believe as a company, finding people that seem naturally passionate about that direction, and then bringing them in and sort of getting out of their way, allowing them to flourish and grow and sort of seize opportunities.
Okay, great. And you've obviously got a CFO that looks after the financial aspect of things for you, but you as the co-founder, presumably you'd have been well aware of the numbers as you've kind of grown. How important has it been having someone to oversee the numbers aspects, kind of filling that gap between the bookkeeper, which looks backwards, and then the forward-looking part, which is, okay, we want to be the biggest marketing agency in the world, and then reverse engineering that to, okay, what do the numbers need to look like to get there, and what actions are we going to take? How important has that role been for you?
Yeah.
Vital. I'm biased, by the way.
Yeah, obviously. I'm not going to say our CFOs aren't important. Don't worry about it. Wrong audience for that, I think. No, it's been vital. And Kane, that's the name of our CFO, we're so different. We're really different people. And the joke in Giraffe is always that without me, we probably wouldn't have started a business. But without Kane, we probably wouldn't still be in business. Mm. You know, I'm the ideas, marketing, sales guy. And he is the numbers, trying to keep me grounded, you know, figuring out where we're going, trying to predict the future. You know, he's that guy. And often that means that my role is the optimist of, oh yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, everything's going to be amazing. And Kane's role is to be the pessimist and say, yeah, but what if this happens? Or what if all these great things don't happen? Like, what does that look like? And he's very good at it. Kane, quite early on, really, started to learn a lot about management accounting and forecasting and cash flow, and that was vital for us, because there's been loads of times in the agency's histories where things have been tight. We've had bad periods and good periods, and having someone who understands the numbers and the fact that we have a monthly meeting where we sit down and we look at the P&L, we look at the balance sheet, we talk about where we're heading, we talk about what we need to be aware of, we talk about any cash flow problems. Which we're quite fortunate with, in the sense that we bill in advance. So most of our clients do pay in advance, which it makes things a lot easier from a cash flow perspective. So having that function has been huge. I mean, I speak to people who run larger agencies that seem to have less of a finance function than we do. We're really lucky in that sense.
With a lot of marketing agencies that I speak to, you have the founder, let's say you, the more creative one, and their focus is on revenue and on growing sales. And that's really the only thing that they're focused on. Mm. Whereas profit is often an afterthought. And so regularly you see businesses, actually it's not just in marketing agencies, it's, you know, with construction businesses and all sorts of businesses, they'll double revenue, but they'll halve their profit margin. So they end up doing twice as much work for the same amount of money at the end of the day. So I think the CFO, hopefully he's been able to bring that kind of insight in that there's no point doubling revenue if you're going to halve your profit margin.
Yeah.
So, in less work for more money.
Yeah. We made some big changes probably about 2 years ago now, 3 years ago, maybe. And Kane was really integral to those. And we were in a bit of a rut in the sense that, so I think if you think of the three, like a triangle, and you think of like the business, the clients, the team, the way it was working, no one was benefiting. So we were selling packages of deliverables. So 10 posts, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And when you're a small agency working with tiny businesses that are all, you know, pretty simple and it's pretty easy, that's fine. But we started working with bigger and bigger brands, more and more complex industries, and we found that all of our timings were just breaking because client A took twice as long as client B, who took three times as much as client C. So you had some clients that everything worked great and they were really profitable, and you had other clients where we were just massively over every month and it wasn't. And what we ended up having was a team that was stressed because they were struggling to get everything done in time. You had clients that were probably not receiving the quality of service that we would want because they had a team that was stressed, desperately trying to deliver everything. And then the business was becoming less and less profitable because to compensate, because we don't want to see our team stressed, we just kept adding in buffers. Oh, well, let's add in a little bit more space, a little bit more space. And we just found that this isn't solving the problem. Like, we're just sort of almost putting a band-aid on this. So Kane and I worked together to establish a new way of working, and we switched to retainers, where we now have hours that we work towards, which from a service perspective has been a revolution for us because we are now thinking more strategically. Our clients are undoubtedly getting a better service, but also it's protected our team because the commitment is to the hours. So people aren't going over, which is great. And our profitability in the sort of year from when we switched, I think it increased. I think we doubled our profit. Like, revenue wasn't massively higher because there was naturally, when you're rolling back something as big as that, we had casualties, as you'd imagine. But yeah, the profit doubled. So it's a perfect example of what you're saying, that same business, same revenue, same size team, but we were twice as profitable as we were before, and the team weren't as stressed, and the clients were getting a better service. And yeah, that was a real like aha moment for us.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's great to hear. So switching gears a bit, focusing more on kind of what you do and the types of clients that you help, perhaps we can go into that.
Yeah, so these days our sort of typical client is an established brand. We don't have massive sort of specificity when it comes to industries, but we do find that we're naturally doing more work in healthcare, finance, fintech, education, and edtech. Those are sort of probably the core areas. And our services are, we're human first because of obviously that's the sort of the marketing philosophy behind what we do. So we're helping those sorts of brands with everything that can happen on social, really. So from content creation, community management, through to like influencer marketing, paid ads, some of those brands will bring us in to essentially be their social media division. Other brands bring us in to plug a gap if there's like a skill gap in the team, perhaps. But yeah, these days we're mainly working with quite large organizations and helping them have a more human social presence.
Okay. And what do they come to you with? What's the kind of main problem?
I mean, it's pretty varied, but I would say one of the most common problems is a lack of strategy. Social media is now a place where I think universally we all agree, oh, if you're a business, you sort of have to be on social media. But what we find is there are a lot of brands that are just posting because they know they need to be posting rather than having an actual plan or a strategy behind what they're doing and why. So whether that's because they have someone in-house and it's not really their focus, and so they're kind of piecemealing posts every now and then, or maybe they're with an agency and it's not working out, often it's we don't know what we're doing. Like we know what we sort of want to achieve, but we don't have a plan for doing that. And yeah, all of our clients, when we start working with them, the first thing we do is strategy. And that obviously includes reviewing what they've been doing, looking at their industry, looking at benchmarks, and starting to draft up a plan for like, this is what we're going to use social for, and this is what we're going to get out of it. So yeah, I think that in a word, strategy is probably the thing that most clients are coming to us for.
So you find that even when you say large brands, how big are we talking?
I mean, it varies. You know, we have clients that are turning over in the billions, and then we have clients that are turning over, you know, 100 million upwards. But I would say these days we're mainly taking on brands that are in that sort of at least 10 million turnover, 50 million turnover. We just find that that's where we can bring the most value.
Yeah.
And being completely frank, it's also the most enjoyable work. You know, it's stressful working with small companies, and we've done that. We did that for a decade and helped a lot of businesses grow and achieve things, and there's reward in that. But it's also there's a lot of stress and a lot of, you know, for every good news story, there's always bad news stories. And yeah, we've found that we much prefer working with large established brands where they're looking for us to come in and bring that creativity and bring the strategic ideas to try things. That for us is exciting.
So you find that even with those really large businesses, let's say the 100 million up to a billion, they don't have the in-house strategy that you guys are providing?
Sometimes. But then sometimes it's also a case of time. Marketing teams across, I would say, the country, but maybe the world, always seem to be too small. Like, I've never met a marketing manager who says, do you know what? I've just got too many people in my team. Every marketing manager is losing sleep and trying to make things work on a shoestring. So often we're brought in for that reason, to be like a relief valve for their team.
Yeah.
So some of the bigger brands we work with, we're not necessarily the only social media function. We're there to support, and the retainers give us the flexibility to kind of be agile. So one month we're helping with content creation, the next month we're helping them refresh all of their paid campaigns. You know, it gives us that agility to basically try and make their lives a little bit easier.
And how do they find you, or you find them in the first place? Are you doing outreach, or are you inbound?
We're primarily inbound. We're quite fortunate in the sense that we reprioritized SEO from day one. I'm a real nerd for SEO. Like, obviously I run a social agency, but I have many friends who run SEO agencies, and I'm always fascinated by what they're doing and the latest developments. So we've always been quite lucky because we've ranked really highly for most of our key phrases. So for most of the time Giraffe's been around, we would get 20 to 30, 40 businesses a month sort of reach out and show an interest in working together. And obviously it's not always a fit. But that's probably still our main source, but we also have a network of partners. So we're partnered with some really large social agencies who maybe have a higher entry price point.
Yeah.
And they were looking for an agency to recommend and selected us. And obviously we also get referral work from some of our clients. We don't do masses in terms of outreach. It's all been relatively organic, to be honest.
Right. Okay. Good. So, as I mentioned to you before we started, this podcast is really all about just building connections. Yeah. So who an introduction to a particular type of person would help you grow your business, or who might you be able to help that you want an introduction to?
I think if you know any genies offering three wishes and a lamp, I'd take that. I love the question, because whenever I speak to like someone in education or a young entrepreneur, and they say like, what's the advice? What's the one bit of advice? I always say the same thing, and that is that find people who've done what you're trying to do and become their best friend. Like, speak to them all the time, ask them questions, make a pest of yourself. So one of the things I've been trying to do is sort of connect with other agency founders from other countries that are maybe a little bit earlier in their development, to see if there's any value I can provide, any advice I can give. So I would say anyone who's running an agency that thinks, do you know what, this is hard and I feel isolated, start speaking to people, speak to me, message me on LinkedIn. I'm always happy to jump on the phone with other agency founders because there's always stuff to learn. So yeah, I mean, in terms of who you could introduce me to, yeah, I mean, anyone with a large brand that's looking to make their social a little bit more human.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, we'll put your LinkedIn in the show notes.
Right.
Anything else you want to share?
No, I don't think so, other than, you know, check out the book. The book's on Amazon, came out earlier this year. It was called Human First Marketing. And yeah, reach out. Always happy to have a chat.
Okay, good idea. I'll be looking at the book myself.
Awesome. Thanks, Tom.
Cheers, Phil. Pleasure to have you on as a guest.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. On that page, you'll find the link to apply.